right, welcome back in on 670 The Score. I have slid from position A to position C, which metaphorically, no. I get to transition with these guys. I'm looking forward to it. But first, Tony Gill or Anthony, whatever you prefer. I think you prefer Tony. Burnsy. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Rick Camp. It was a pleasure. Thank you to the guests that we had on the show, who were Casey Johnson in the first hour and Joe Buck in the second hour. Check it out if you miss it. Thank you, Lawrence Holmes, for the loan of the spot, and for Mitch Rosen for the ask, and for the listeners for the listening, and the texters for the texting, and the wife for being my stylist and helping me come up with a shirt that looks okay on a video stream. But I don't...
Okay.
It looks better than okay.
Okay.
My goodness gracious.
Oh, you're too kind. No, really. Don't.
Please stop. Stop all the praise.
That image crackled in our office during this show meeting today. It really did.
I don't think I was on... We weren't broadcasting, but you guys are, right?
I think so.
We are the only show that is video streamed as of now. We are the guinea pig of the HD cameras in Brian Gertsch's tremendous experiment at watch670thescore.com.
Got you. Well, I'm going to go sit in the other room and just check you guys out because it's HD, right? You can see.
It's HD, yeah.
You see way more than you
spectacular.
Want.
Spectacular. I'm serious. We commented on the shirt. I said, that is a kick-ass shirt. Look at the clarity. Look at the resolution on that screen. Yeah, I don't mind it. I kind of got used to it, but the lights irritate me. So I got the Jim McMahon glasses if they get to be too bothersome.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That works.
Although I did that last week, and they said that my bag factor was an 11 out of 10. So just so you know.
How many texts did you get about that?
Well, no, Spiegel.
The guy's here.
Yeah, the guy's here. The guy's here.
So they bother you too then? You haven't admitted as much.
No, I put on the sunglasses as a bit. It was not about the lights in the studio.
See.
It was, I don't even remember what prompted me to do it, but it was, I think I was being defiant about something.
Because you had them in the front.
That's what it was.
We were making fun of you with the sunglasses in the front, and then you put them on and we made fun of you further.
Yeah.
Once they went on.
My eyes are all puffy too. It's not a good look. You got me sick 2 weeks ago, probably, because you were heroic and, Chicago would perish without your thoughts on things.
So that's how I feel.
You share the space with somebody for 4 or 5 hours a day. Ultimately, you're going to do something that's going to bring your resistance down, and what is in you is going to be in you. So I don't think I'm infectious at this point because I've been battling it for almost a week now. So
Your thoughts are infectious.
Oh, Speaks.
Your commentary. Your insight is infectious, sir.
Well, then Mitch got sick and Tanny got sick, so I did feel like it might have been me, but then I was wondering if I was being narcissistic. Like, oh, my cold made everybody else cold.
And sorry, talk show host being narcissistic?
I know. It would be a first. Ah. It would be a first to think that the world revolves around me.
Yeah. Joe Buck, who I always enjoy talking to, my favorite moment, I think, was when I asked him, do you have a list of, like, the best games or moments that you've done? Because you've done a lot. And he said, a list? That's a huge ego issue, even for me. That's way further than I would go. Can you imagine what kind of jackass would do that? So I was picturing him, like, you know, lying in bed, and he's got twins. He's got young baby twins. He's like, honey, could you change those diapers? I'm updating my list here.
The Randy Moss call goes here.
I bet that's low.
I think that's low.
I should play that for him sometime, though, and get him to talk about it.
Yeah, he's commented on maybe overreacting by a lot on that. He's
real.
He's self-aware.
He owns his blemishes, and wish more of them did that. Wish more of us. I shouldn't say them.
Exactly.
We're a part of this goofball fraternity.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when people get that big, man, they often get a little ego.
Did you watch Monday Night Football last night, Spiegs?
Yes, I did.
Man, that's a tough one for the Bears, and it's a tough one for the Vikings, the way that thing shakes out. Green Bay right now, who thought we'd be here through 6 weeks where Packers are winning largely because of their defense and their running game?
Crazy.
Their quarterback is starting to turn it up a little bit, too. When he gets a full complement of players around him, they're going to be tough to beat for anybody.
Apparently, he went to the coach and said, hey, put this kid in, Lazard.
Yep.
Like, so that's because he'd seen something in practice. He's like, look, we're scrambling, put him in. And he targeted him like crazy.
Well, it's like the Packers probably dropped 4 touchdown passes last night. Like, it was just
that goofball who slipped and then it hit him in the face mask at the 2-yard line.
Yeah, that was
intercepted.
Yeah, and then, I mean, and
I hate that pick counts against the quarterback. It's one of the reasons I like QBR as opposed to rating, because they take that kind of stuff into account.
Aaron Jones dropped one when he ran the like little mini wheel route up the seam and go all the way to the sideline. Jimmy Graham dropped one on the sliding catch. I mean, it was just Rodgers was just dropping dimes all over the field, throwing to nobody, and they still won the game. And man, we talked about it yesterday.
I know.
And then here it is.
I know.
Here
it is. The next game. There it is. I still think Matt Patricia, even though the evidence since week 3 decidedly backed his decision not to challenge the PI call that was an obvious miss on the field. Parkins, what you said yesterday is right on the money. Let him challenge it. I'm not going to take a chance if I'm the official. Let the guy challenge it now that it's up for review. He should have challenged that. It was too big of a part of the game. And when you're on the island on Monday Night Football, sometimes it requires something of that magnitude to affect change. Just like the pass interference in the Saints-Rams game that got this whole thing started to begin with.
Uh-huh.
I know, because the owners are meeting right now in Fort Lauderdale. The owners are huddling today and all week. And if it happened last night and he didn't get that call overturned, then maybe you think, okay, we have got to do something. I would think they already would have been there before last night's game, but I don't know. That would have made it even more obvious that they need to start addressing this.
You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX, HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. I get what you're saying. The rule exists, so put pressure on the rule. Either it'll stand up under scrutiny or it'll crumble. But when Dean Blandino's on the air yesterday and he's giving out the numbers that only one pass interference has been overturned since week 3, and you know that the standard for getting this overturned seems to be at an untenable level, and it's a 1-score game and you're going to need your timeouts, I absolutely get why you say, I don't want to trust this challenge and this timeout in some sort of arbitrary system and situation. And then the end of the game also showed why the rule was so logically flawed from the beginning, because pass interference is not the only penalty that can change the outcome of a game.
Right, because I don't believe the collar is not part of the face, last time I looked.
No,
right.
Now it can be. It can be.
If part of your hand's on the collar.
Had Trey Flowers moved laterally with the hands inside the shoulder pads in the front,
they could horse collar it.
Yes, they could call a horse. See,
but
I
that's
thought
still
last
not hands
night,
to the face.
No, it isn't. I thought it was just a screw-up when Cleet Blakeman made the announcement that it wasn't hands to the face. It was a horse collar. That was the illegal use of hands. But as long as the defense of the pass rusher, whatever he plays, is making progress towards the quarterback, you are allowed to put your hands underneath the shoulder pads in the front. You can't jerk it from behind. You can't jerk side to side.
Yeah,
it has to
be extra.
Because I thought he just simply screwed up the explanation of it. No, the explanation, he just screwed up the call on the field, not the explanation.
Here's my overriding thought on that stuff today is that I have been part of conversations like this bitching about the refs for 25 years.
I heard that.
Every year, things progress, right? They've changed rules. They've changed the wording on rules. They've added instant freaking replay. They've expanded the crews. They evaluate the crews now. And, every year they're educating the players annually, and we're still here, and it doesn't feel any better because they're humans and we're always going to bitch about it. And I think the NFL is fine with that.
Well, you can remove the word think. Did you see Jerry Jones today? Because Jerry Jones, I mean, even Baker Mayfield's like, geez, man, turn down a microphone every once in a while. He speaks more than any owner and general manager in the league combined. Jerry Jones asked if he was bothered by the officiating in last night's Packers-Lions game. Quote. Oh, and the fact that the discussion is about the officiating as opposed to the play on the field.
Yeah.
Quote.
Oh, okay.
The calls were the subject of most of the talk after the ball game, and they're the talk this morning, and as long as they're talking, keep it going.
There we go.
He's a businessman. That's what he is. As long as you care enough to complain, that means you'll come back and keep watching.
We all will, too.
That might as well be Roger Goodell's words, by the way.
Exactly right.
You're right.
That's who Jerry is. That's the stature he has. That's the discussions that Roger wouldn't put it that bluntly because he's got a little more PR savvy than Jerry.
He's more of a politician.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I just... it just leaves me feeling unsatisfied, and I think that that is an obvious stance for a businessman to take, but it doesn't at all take into account your customer.
Right, but I don't believe that there is some mythical tipping point where people say, you know what, I'm not watching anymore. You know why?
Neither do I.
You know why? Because people like to bitch about stuff. People, they like to be angry about right. things, and when it's something that isn't of consequence, and guess what? We can all bitch together about this.
Yep.
It everybody,
becomes communal. Oh, social media.
Yeah,
let me get
yeah,
on my
left,
phone.
Right,
we're
black,
bitching
white.
Together.
Yeah, of course.
So they don't even realize how satisfying it is emotionally
You're
and
right.
how much we're bonding by bitching together against a common opponent.
We're going to do it a bunch today again. Second straight day. Mike Pereira, or as Wani likes to say, Mike Pereira. He's coming on today to talk yeah. with us.
Pereira at three.
Hub's going to do some Bears stuff with us. Hakeem Hicks gone for at least the next, what, six, eight weeks?
Week 15 at the earliest.
At least 8 weeks, maybe for the season. And Ron Rivera is going to join us today as well to talk about his Panthers, who are on a roll.
Oh, yeah, man.
And Cam Newton saying he is about ready to come back. They're on bye this week, so Chico has a
Happy birthday, Chico,
from Dave McGinnis.
I heard...
Tell Chuck Cecil we said hi.
I heard this stat. Kyle Allen is the first quarterback ever to win his first four starts while throwing zero interceptions. That is not something yeah. that you jump to replace unless you've got a great quarterback.
He also has laid the ball down six times and lost four fumbles, so that is an,
issue
for him.
But he hasn't thrown a pick, and they've won four in a row.
Yeah, I don't know how you change it now. It's
because he got an MVP. You got Cam.
Well, yeah. He was an MVP. He hasn't played like it since that season, since 2015. He's been a shell of himself.
Yeah, I think that there maybe is some news to make with Ron Rivera, but it won't be that. Like he's not going to come on and be like, you know what?
Yeah, he might for an old friend.
We're not going back to Cam Newton.
Hey, Ron, I could use a boost. Do you mind breaking a little news yeah. right here for me? Thanks.
But I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that a coach would step out and say that this pass interference rule isn't working like it was intended to. Dean Blandino yesterday, on the radio in the third biggest market in the country, flatly said that it's already being enforced differently than it was explained to the coaches
right.
in training camp.
Crazy.
That was 6 weeks ago.
Man, that's crazy.
Like that's to me, that's a huge football story that everyone's like, oh, well, yeah, of course. No, that's a huge thing
it
that
is.
Matters here in terms of strategy in game.
They're all screwed up in the head. When I was watching the Jets-Cowboys game and should have been so enthralled as I was most of the game, but by that final drive, and instead six flags on six straight plays,
yep.
all of which maybe were penalties, maybe were not. They're all right on the edge. It's like once they decided they were going to call it to the letter that they decided to, then they couldn't get out of their own way. They started calling makeups, which you could call or could not call, and then they called another makeup, and then they really, well, we got to go this. It's like they could not get out of the game once they were in the game.
And
that was a first-year official, yep. and there's more of those coming next year, first-year officials. Flags are up at a ridiculous rate this year. NFL teams are averaging almost 15 penalties per game.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't it feel good to bitch about this together?
Oh, sure
it really does.
And the NFL likes it. That's why it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I look forward to our next conversation exactly like this.
Exactly. It was no catch, no catch. Then
correct.
It was helmet to helmet.
Yeah, Bert Emanuel says hello.
Yeah, exactly. So it's
Bert Emanuel.
Never ending. What, do you like Gabe Kapler speaks? Would that work for you if it wasn't David Ross for whatever reason? The idea of
no.
he didn't get it right the first time, he's
no.
going to get it right the second time?
No, there is how do I say it? There's a level of, I might as well just say, there's a level of phoniness about Gabe Kapler that would not interest me in hiring as a manager.
Phoniness.
Really? Yeah. Fake good guy?
Yeah. Fake rah-rah guy.
Yeah.
And
okay.
like, that's got to be real. Yeah, you got to, man, people sniff that out, you know? And a room will sniff that out they know him better. He played for them, right? He played for Theo and Jed in Boston very, very briefly.
Yeah. And when you read about him as a player, he was favorite guy in the clubhouse teammate. That was his reputation as a player, even if he was very different. I was reading one story out of Boston where there was a player clubhouse poll where, you know, there were 24 guys in the clubhouse who identified as conservatives or Republicans, and he was the only one who identified as a Democrat, but he was also the favorite teammate on the team. You know, he did have that reputation as a player, for whatever that's worth, but he was kind of mocked as a manager, wasn't he?
Oh, a bunch.
He was derided for his moves in game, for the media stuff. He was just derided.
Especially early on, he had bullpen theories and thoughts that just didn't make a lick of sense. But, I mean, a guy can learn. He's now done the job for 2 years. His team has faded twice, and obviously fallen short of expectations. But I think there's some $3 bill action there. For me.
Okay, there we go.
What's up next for the band? The Cars?
It is exactly right.
3 weeks from tomorrow?
Yeah, November 4 and 6, or 2 and 4, okay. Or 6 and 8, something like that. Wednesday and Friday, the first Wednesday of Friday, November.
The animated movie Cars?
Yes, we are. We're doing our tribute to Lightning McQueen.
That's cool.
You'll know actually 3 or 4 of them, Danny.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I've hung out inside that musical brain so much. It's an empty cavern.
Might be right.
It is a haunted empty barn.
What's their biggest hit?
Let's go.
Best friend's girl.
My best friend's girl. She used to be mine.
My best friend's girlfriend. She used to be mine. Yeah, no. See? Come on. Just what I needed. No,
that sounds.
I guess you're just what I needed.
Oh, I've heard that song.
Yeah. Okay.
That's in a commercial.
All right. Bye bye, love.
Bye bye, love.
Not the Everly Brothers. I know you're a big Everly Brothers guy.
Listen, I didn't want to say it, but okay, fine. Put all my business out there on the radio. No, that'll be good.
Yeah.
The Cars. It's exciting. Another thing I don't know much about.
I'm not an over-the-top fan of the Cars, but after spending a couple hours in the room with Tributo and those who enjoyed Skinner a few weeks ago, I might venture back.
Oh, see,
Martyrs.
You had a skinny tie period. Dan McNeil.
I did. Yes, I did. You're the only one who reminds me of it. Thanks.
But keep reminding
you. You had an FM DJ skinny tie period.
Hey, man.
Sir.
Here's a band called the Psychedelic Furs.
Come on. You set up a Cars track or six in your day.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. They
I did.
Very tightly, tight, well-constructed, well-crafted pop songs.
Blame it all on MTV.
Yeah.
Every damn bit of it.
The skinny tie?
Yes, all of it.
Mm. Leather? Was it leather, the skinny tie?
There were a couple of them. Yeah, I had a white leather skinny tie. Yeah.
Own it.
Yes.
It worked well with my peach button down.
Wow.
And the big bag of blow in your pocket.
Let's go see the Romantics, guys.
What year are we talking here?
This 81 through 85 or 6.
Okay.
There's
music, rock and roll was dying in the late 70s, so you grabbed onto something. There were a few bands in the early 80s who kept it alive. Van Halen fans, I'm with you. You too, I get it. Bruce Springsteen, yeah, but, I know. The Pretenders.
But I would not deride the particular brand of music you're talking about, because it's pop, but it had some punk sensibilities in it. It was
some of
snappy.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, snappy, well crafted. Yeah. No, I'm down with with some of that.
Some of it. When can they hear you next?
Boy, that's a fair question by you. Today's Tuesday. Saturday.
Parkins gets me sicker. It might be tomorrow.
There it is.
Even if I don't, it might be tomorrow. Okay, let's be honest. But
Saturday with Bruce for Inside the Clubhouse and then Rosie.
Clubhouse.
All right, buddy. Good to see you as
always.
Good
day, man.
Good stuff today.
Nice shirt. Crackling in high def.